Okay, hi everyone. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much for being here. I hope this podcast finds you healthy and secure. We're continuing the series on the 10 worlds, life conditions. And what we're going to talk about today is the world of hunger. Hunger is one of the three lower worlds that we see referenced in a lot of the sutra and writings that we study on Buddhism. Of course, in the human instantiation of samsara, this life that we have, humans, generally referred to as the six lower worlds. In our modern era, we might tend to talk about eight worlds, but generally the six lower worlds are without reference to Buddhism itself, the Dharma, if you will. You could argue, yeah, but we go to school, we have university, we are in the worlds of learning and realization, so there would be eight worlds for humanity, but in truth, the learning and realization are specifically worlds of learning, being able to hear the Buddha's words. So that's Buddhist study, separate from worldly study, right? And realization being being able to inculcate those teachings and self-teach the path. The next two worlds, really, the paths to bodhisattva and Buddhahood. Although for a long time, that realization path was one that was very insular to the individual. And that would be early teachings, sometimes called Hinayana teachings, right? Or even Theravada. There's a lot of work on the self before there is the realization or the teaching in later years of Shakyamuni's teaching life. Sorry, I'm messing with my shoes, taking them off here. Where you're learning, hearing the words of Buddha and realizing his teaching is a step beyond simply realizing for yourself, but that full and complete enlightenment come from bodhisattva self-teaching and teaching of others to attain what is Buddhahood. So that doesn't really occur until Mahayana teaching. Okay, so the world of hunger, one of the three lower worlds that we hear referenced, is a very gripping state of being, of a life condition. And in general, it's the world of hunger, or the hungry ghosts, or hungry spirits, or however you want to talk or name it. But hunger is a pretty familiar term to any human being or non-human being who's had to subsist by satiating certain critical desires, right? Therein lies the problem, though, that in the world of hunger, we seem unable to differentiate between what is critical for survival and what is simply craven desire. For instance, we need to eat. We need food. That is a day-to-day preoccupation, a day-to-day necessity. There are still to this day people in this world who live in conditions, in economies, in societies on this planet where pretty much their only thought all day long is where they may find some kind of nourishment, nutrition. This is a very real concern. But even in our privileged societies, where we are plentiful in every way, we still experience this desperate craving for something outside of ourselves that somehow in the mechanisms of our minds is hypercritical for our continued existence. If this sounds like addiction to a Buddhist, there would be no difference between hunger and addiction, because that's the state of samsara. We are addicted to identifying things, addicted to an idea of self, an idea of differentiation, right? That is samsara. So, you know, to recognize that, oh, I'm feeling hungry, I need something to eat, and then you, what do I feel like eating? And you make yourself a sandwich, whatever, and you eat. That's not the hunger we're talking about. We're talking about the hunger that you're willing to do almost anything, perhaps anything, in order to have. And the main feature of this hunger is that it can never be satisfied. It can never be satisfied. That's the kind of hunger that strips your humanity. It takes you away from your potential enlightenment. This is why it's one of the three lower worlds. Hell, hunger, and animality are the three worlds that are they're serious diseases. They keep you from progressing as a human being toward having a fulfilling life. Because the very nature of hunger is unfulfilled. The person who eats and eats and eats and eats and never feels to the point of exploding their own body, never feels satiated. The person who has to have sexual experience, even if perhaps they can't even accomplish fully the sexual act, or they do and that's not enough. Drugs, power, money. I'm making $1 million a day, it's great, but I need more. Why? For what purpose? Only to have it. And then having it, not being satisfied. Or being scared to death that you don't have enough. Whether it's money or relationships or houses or footwear or name it. Anything. Hunger is a state of being. It's not a thing. But it can be expressed as things, right? Because that's how we operate in samsara. That can be amazingly destructive, right? And it destroys relationships of all sort. Because if you're a victim of somebody who's in that world of hunger, you will, at some point, are going to want to run the hell away from them. Because they will suck you in and destroy your life as well. And that won't satisfy them. Right? Relationships can be that way. Your relationship with your employer might be that way. Right? I'm being abused. I'm not being paid well enough. I'm scared to death to leave because it, even as meager as it is, it's something I'm subsisting of. You start to destroy your own self-confidence. You don't believe you can go anywhere else. And you take the punishment and the abuse of this employer who's like a cartoon with a cigar going, and you can't leave, right? Personal relationships can be like this. And keep in mind what I said in the earlier video on the state of hell. We're never in one of these states for very long. We may be there a lot, but we're constantly, there's a mixture, right? The 10 worlds are intermixed. what's the word? Not interdependent. I always forget this word. They permeate one another, okay? So you may be in the hunger of hell or the hunger of rapture. You may be like a sex addict, for instance. They can have an orgasmic sensation, a rapturous feeling, and still be in the world of hell because immediately that's unsatisfying. I need more. I have to have more. So you can never have enough. You see how destructive that is. But then the desire to have it is animal. And you have to chase it. And we'll talk about animality too. But these three lower worlds, they're often together, you know, vying for first place, if you will. But also, even in that world, or in the three lower worlds, in that world of hunger, there is bodhisattva. There is Buddhahood. It may be faint, but while in that mixture of hell, hunger, and animality, one can perceive one's own fallacies. One can observe one's own life condition and weep. And so there are other worlds trying to manifest there. But the controlling worlds, right? They're all the hunger of hunger. Imagine that. If you can't imagine how hunger, that life state, can be damaging and destructive, imagine being in the hunger of hunger. Very inescapable. And even then, other life states are intermingled, either compounding hunger or seeking escape from hunger. Those are other life states trying, vying for the attention of your minds. Hunger. So it's a very, very, very sad life state. Perhaps even sadder to observe than to experience. Yet another reason for Buddha's compassion, right? I remember I had a neighbor who every few months would have a different dog chained up to a tree in their yard. And the chain wasn't very long. And one year, they barely fed these dogs. They seemed to think that keeping the dogs hungry and without any kind of human attention, they would make better guard dogs. Some people think that way. And I remember looking outside my window one day and seeing this beautiful dog hanging from the tree. Like it had spun this chain around the tree enough to where it hung itself. And I couldn't help but wonder if it hadn't done that purposely. It hurt me deeply to see these dogs in crisis and these people. Ah. And then this one dog, beautiful white furry dog. I'm not sure what kind of dog it was, but they were doing that to this dog, and this dog was clever enough to figure out how to get itself out of that chain, how to wiggle its head out and run free. It wasn't able to do that until I imagine at a point of crisis, the dog would just starve not only for money for food, but it so desperately wanted attention, just love. You know, one day while the people were gone from the house, I had some venison that I had cooked, and there were some leftovers, and I thought, I'm going to go feed that dog. Now, I don't know if I should have done that or not, but was it venison or was it? It may have been squirrel meat. No, I think it was venison. Anyway, I went and fed the dog. The dog was doing somersaults. It was incredibly thankful just for me walking up to it, let alone feeding. And when I fed it, I mean, I don't think it chewed anything maybe once before it gulped it down. It was so starved. And it made me so sad. And that was when the dog figured out how to get out of its chain, and it would come over to my house. And every time I touched it or paid any attention, it would spin and roll over and pee itself and just and lick and lick and want to jump on me. And just, it was so starved for any kind of, it didn't even know how to express gratitude. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, can you imagine a human being in that state of mind? With that kind of core, just completely preoccupied with these basic desires. Completely controlled by these desires. How could you help but have compassion, feel that need, feel that pain? How do you heal it? How much time would it take to dedicate to this really damaged person, dog, before they started to feel okay, started to feel secure? Maybe never. These lower life states, they're not where you want to spend a lot of time. They're not where you want to be. Right? The world of hunger. And yet, in our very technologically advanced, wealthy world today, there's so much of it. Even when we feel it just for a moment, it's easy to go a little crazy. And you're jumping between these worlds, hell, hunger, animality. So stay vigilant for yourself. And also learn to recognize it in your environment. Because the world of hunger can also exist in the world of anger, a manipulative, backstabbing sort of hunger. People who manipulate and take advantage of us with glee because they can reside in higher worlds, but they're motivated by their sense of hunger and animality. You ever wonder about that? Get on some of the great cities of this country's or world's highways and see how many people drive vehicles as though they own that road. And you will not past them or get in front of them. And they will go to the depths of depravity, to even to the point of causing life-taking accidents. The risks people are willing to take. When soon as they have a sense of power, I'm controlling this 6,000-pound vehicle. And observe the lower worlds of hell, hunger, and animality. There they are in full view. The audacity of somebody in a $70,000 vehicle acting in the same way that the starving dog was acting. You could say the starving dog had more justification for being in those worlds. And yet, they're the same worlds. They're the same life conditions. A cautionary tale? Become a good observer of people's natures. We're all traveling through these worlds constantly, right? 3,000 realms in a single thought moment of life. Even if you can claim or tell yourself, I've never been in that kind of hell. I've never been in that kind of animality. I've never been in that kind of hunger. You might be able to argue that you don't spend much time there, but you know what I'm talking about. And occasionally, we go through moments where we feel like we can't even breathe as we're experiencing something, perhaps for the first time. But what I'm telling you is these worlds are not like that. These worlds are a matter of duration. You are going through 3,000 realms in a single thought moment of life. You're going through these life conditions. You've experienced hell, hunger, and animality. Guaranteed, albeit maybe for brief moments. Like the example I gave in the last video of when a teacher calls out your name and you're unprepared. And you dip into it for a moment of crisis and maybe you come out of it. Brilliant, great answer. Maybe you're very resilient that way. Doesn't mean you didn't go there. Maybe it crushes your identity and it's one more brick in the wall. We all respond differently and we all gravitate to certain zones, but we experience all of them. All of them. All the time. This is why we have to be hyper vigilant in watching what our mind is doing, what that grove of monkeys is doing. Where are they migrating? What are they doing? Because our goal as Buddhists is to quell those worlds. Even the world of hunger, we want to get to the place where we can look at the world of hunger with compassion, accept that it exists, and not be influenced by it. You could say compassion is being influenced. But I'm saying that's not the kind of compassion we're talking about. Buddhist compassion is a recognition that it exists in this samsaric world and that there's a way through it, out of it. That it's not necessary to have that. It's a necessary component of samsara, but that's the whole issue, isn't it? That we can rise our life condition above the samsaric conditions while in samsara and simply release our minds from the exegesis of samsaric requirements. That we become unattached observers, and that observation is what wells up our compassion. Come through it. Raise your life condition up one level. Now another. Now another. Let me show you how. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. These are difficult ideas to fully understand. This is why we practice every day. This is why a little study goes a long ways into giving us clues. How to see, how to experience what the actual play of samsara is. Which is also a deep appreciation, isn't it? Okay, so the world of hunger. In the next video, we'll talk about animality. But for now, I think the world of hunger is something to chew on. Oh, so funny. Sorry. Humor. We need to keep a sense of humor in this life. All right. With that, once again, I have to reiterate how much I appreciate your participation in these podcasts, videos. Use that comment section. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if I miss something or if you have questions about these worlds. We're going to go through all 10 of them, and then I'm not sure where that will lead. Maybe more discussions on life states. And let me know what you think. I definitely want to spend a little time with each of these worlds and talk about them, add that knowledge to our arsenal of critical thinking, and we'll see where we go from here. But let's get through these first, okay? And again, patrons, Patreon, PayPal, all of your contributions are absolutely critical to continuing this endeavor of mine and ours. And thank you again. I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.